Willkommen bei Remote Leadership, der zweiten Staffel des Chief of Anything Podcasts von und mit Michael Portz und Christian Kohlhoff. Für alle, die auf Entfernung führen oder arbeiten und dabei noch mehr erreichen wollen.
Hallo Natascha.
Hallo Michael.
Hallo Christian.
How are you doing today?
Perfect. Sun is shining.
That's great. So, Natascha, who are you and what do you do?
So, I'm a very happy mother who works as a HR business partner in Adidas for the last 2.5 weeks. And then I'm joining an amazing company that is called Miele.
Cool. Congratulations to the new job.
Thank you. Thank you. Very excited.
So, we were talking about remote leadership here in this podcast. Mm-hmm. How much experience do you have in remote working and remote leadership?
I think starting from COVID time, we all are very experienced with the remote leadership. And definitely it's not easy than we work with team that are located across the world. Mm-hmm. And to get used to have no social contacts anymore, it's not easy. But nevertheless, I do see benefits in working from home and scheduling your meetings more properly than if we would be in the office.
Yeah. So you said you work with teams that are scattered all over the world. How did you do this before, and how do you do it? How do you lead them now?
So before it, we at least could meet once or twice per year. Nowadays, all the team buildings are virtual. So we have wine virtual sometimes gathering, or I facilitate workshops for the team. And then we split into the groups and we try to still be open and authentic and share what's happening in our life. So I think we added more private stuff into conversations, because this is what helps us to stay connected.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Natascha, having followed your journey there with Adidas for 10 years, there's probably been quite a development in this whole remote leadership topic. And what would you say, you know, maybe coming out of the last year with the corona pandemic, what has been the most radical remote leadership thing that has changed that you have seen and observed? What's outstandingly interesting?
I mean, first of all, God bless IT and Teams. It worked. and now we can see each other and celebrate success or achievements with the team. Mm-hmm. I do think, first of all, we understood that it is important to meet, and we are now appreciate the moment than we were working together and we could see each other. I think working from home or from the office, not being in the office, can help to be in the focus, because you don't have time for chats or going up and down and getting some coffee. You actually focus on the things to be done. And I believe that we became much more efficient working from home compared to the experience working in the office.
And how do you deal with that? Or how do people in the company that you observe deal with not having the chat over a coffee, not walking by the desk, and, you know, the social component being so much less than it was? How do you see people dealing successfully with that?
You know what? We have an agreement that we have a weekly breakfast. So we spend 30 minutes per week, and we every week choose a topic. So, for example, 1 week it could be movies. So everyone share what is their favorite movie, so make it as a background on Teams. Or we celebrate birthdays virtually. We share what helps us to stay strong, and we even have a sport challenge. So, for example, every week you need to get 50,000 steps, and we are so competitive, you can imagine. So I would say we have this commitment to support each other, and we stay close. I would say I talk with my team much more often now than I was talking with them than I was in the office.
Right. And, you know, back to the thing about last year, what's the one thing that 1 year ago you wouldn't have thought is possible to do remotely, and now it's changed?
If I'm very honest, I believe that people take responsibility for the results, and they don't need to be in the office and to be observed by HR or their leaders. Working from home, if you have a very clear guidance and regular connect with your leader, you can be very successful.
Mm. Cool. Thank you.
So you said work is more efficient.
Yeah.
So efficient is like getting specific things done in a shorter time. And is it also effective? So in a sense that you get the right things done.
And here comes the questions to the leader. How much do you control? Mm-hmm. How much do you trust? And I do believe that we became much more efficient because we are not stressed that, you know, you need to be back at home at 5 because you need to feed kids or you need to go out with the dog. Mm-hmm. Now you can manage your agenda properly. I'm a single mom, so I bring my daughter at 7:45 to school. So I start working at 6 till 7, so I have 1 hour. Then I bring her to school. Then I do my sport because it's important for me. And then I work. So I also have from 4 till 5, I pick her up. So I work with her, we play, she goes to bed, and then I continue working. So I think I'm managing my time in a way that is more comfortable for me. And of course, I'm much more efficient because I have some, you know, breaks in between.
Hmm. So, and that sounds like you have more time to work now. How many hours do you spend working?
Oh, I cannot say this because my works council might listen to this.
Sorry.
That's okay. So honestly, I try to work for 8 hours.
Okay.
So I imagine with this, you know, sounds like there's more freedom to choose when to work and get stuff done. And I'm hearing from you that people are taking responsibility to make things happen. So that sounds wonderful. How are the managers and leaders in your organization reacting to the question of, are they really doing what they should be doing? Are the results okay? And so how are people dealing with that?
Well, that's a very good question, Michael, because I think it was the biggest concern from our CEO and from the leaders. And it has only one word, trust. Mm. You either have trust or not. And then trust should be built from both sides. It's not only the employee, it's also the leader. And then if you openly have a discussion about this, and then you let person work, and then if within, I don't know, 1 month there is no result, then the leadership style should be changed. But then if there is a result, the trust is built forever.
Yeah. And so one thing I'm always curious about is, you know, different people and different personality types and how they are dealing with the remote situation. It appears to me that for some people it's quite easy now to work remotely and for others not. How can we look at the different people that are out there and the different types using whatever model, you know, Myers-Briggs, introvert, extrovert, insights, DISC, whatever, you know, just generally, what are your observations as to who is this easy for and who is it more challenging for and how can we help everybody to have a good experience?
You know, this year we were lucky to go for the diversity and inclusion training, and we talked a lot about biases, about microaggression that can come through words, about different cultures that can consider tasks or the tone of the voice or the way we work differently. And we made a decision that we have no judgment. We create the safe environment where people can openly share how they feel about working. And also, I think being authentic, something that potentially was missed, because when you're in the office, you don't have time And now we do understand that everyone has challenge with the family situation. That's why leaders became much more authentic, much more sensitive and vulnerable. They also share, oh, you know what? Yes, I'm senior vice president, but I have a crying child. I didn't sleep the whole night and I'm done. And it helps people who report to him to come down and say, oh, he's a human being. He also can be tired. So I also have the right to say, you know what? I'm tired. I can't work today. So I think we just need to accept people, but also be very honest. If something is not working, we shouldn't wait. We need to say it immediately. And then it helps.
Right. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, companies that you mentioned that you've been working for, like Adidas and then Miele, and big corporations like this. I mean, there's a lot of people in these companies, right? Yeah. So now I'm starting to imagine, what is it like leading all these people working remotely from home or from, I don't know, sitting in a cafe somewhere, not that they're open at the moment, but soon they will be. You know, so working from somewhere which is not the office. And what element is there about, you know, setting a standard? So, like, you know, be it the hours that I'm working, be it the clothes I wear when I show up on video, be it the background that I show. I mean, I've seen everything, right, from presidential backgrounds to people sitting in their messy kitchen with the food still on the counter. So how are you observing that, and where are we going with this if this remote situation will sustain, which kind of seems like it will for a while?
So what I think it's also kind of rules of the game. As soon as we understood that working from home will stay for quite a long time, we agreed, okay, no videos in pyjama. I'm not joking. So we honestly agreed on this.
Not even at 6 a.m., huh?
Yes, you won't believe. So sometimes, you know, sometimes I switch off the camera, then I need to run. But this is also one of the agreement that we have. We always switch on the camera.
Yeah.
So we want to look into each other's eyes. And coming back to your previous question, how do we manage different personalities? At least we can read by the face and by body language what our employee are feeling at this moment. What else? What else? What else are we doing? In Germany, we are not allowed to work from any other locations except Germany. So everyone has their office at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's respect. So I don't think if I would be in
Pyjama
working with you, I will show my respect. So I think people are adults and they take it serious.
So wait, so you're saying, is that a legal requirement? So I have to be in the country to be working remotely for those companies?
Yes.
Okay, I'm in trouble.
So I think at least the explanation from Adidas is because of the taxes. You need to be located in the country where you have a contract.
Ah, okay. Ah, Leistung, Ort der Leistungserbringung, something like that.
Yes,
okay.
This beautiful word.
Ah, interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we talked before the recording of the podcast, we talked about compliments and saying nice things to each other, and that sometimes it feels a little more difficult to do that remotely than it feels more easily when you meet in person. So what's that for you?
So true. You know, Christian, of course, we dress up to the office. Of course, we hug each other when we see. I mean, it was more than 1 year ago then I was hugging my colleagues. So, but at least I was doing it. And of course, we were sharing how was the weekend and how you look. Now with the remote work, we don't have time for this. We usually jump into the topic. Sometimes we don't have time for the lunch. That's why with my team, every week I check that they spend enough time for going out, that they took the time for the lunch, because I think it impacts the efficiency, it impacts their health. Mm-hmm. And nothing is more important for me than health of my employees. Mm-hmm. That's why, yes, I'm missing compliments. And because we're in Germany, and you know, like in different cultures are different, people don't so often share openly. Like in Russia, you can say, oh, nice t-shirt, I like how you look, or nice hairstyle. Here, people are still very reserved, so they keep the distance.
let's do this right away. Natasha, you look wonderful. And, you know, for everybody listening now you need to imagine this, because Natasha is actually here in like a professional blazer, you know, with the hair nicely done. You look very, very professional. Like, you know, this looks like you were in the office in the full attire and, you know, everything is the way exactly how I would imagine it in a professional workspace. And you have a professional background. You know, what I see in the back, there's probably a mirror, but yeah. It's not giving too much away from your private home and all of that. So just to describe to everybody who's listening, what I'm seeing now, you know, is exactly that resemblance of professionalism.
Thank you so much. Fortunately, my daughter is at school right now, so you cannot see her. Otherwise, usually she jumps into my meetings and say hi to people with whom I talk. And I recently had a conf call with vice president's finance from Imagine Markets. So can you imagine, a lot of people were talking about salary round for the company. And then my daughter jumps and say, hey, hi, how are you? And honestly, I think this is also nice about remote work, because people understand, oh, family is also important. Oh, mm-hmm. And I do think it's great that now we reconnected with this value.
Can I share something? You know, when this whole remote thing became so ubiquitous, I mean, I work 100% remote now, right? So every day, that's all I do. So, and the first workshops and meetings, you know, when kids and babies would show up, you know, at first I was asking myself the question, oh, well, is this right? And where is this going to go? So now, oh, you know? And I'm very happy with how my thinking has evolved to, it's actually nice to see kids in there for a little bit. I mean, as long as it doesn't disturb the process and there is no noise. And so I do think there are some limits. And it kind of reminds me how, you know, in companies we have these take your kids to work days. Right. And then, you know, daddy gets to bring the kids and show them what the office is like, which then takes the whole day or at least hours of the day. And this way now it's actually happening in I feel it's much more nicer. It's much more authentic. It's much more homogenic in the flow of what's going on. Where do you see that develop? You know, that's all how home and work, how many boundaries will we have in the future, or do we need? So, and I imagine for some people, showing the home, showing the family is something that I could be uncomfortable with.
Yeah, unfortunately, technology allows us to blur it and you won't see how the flat looks like. But I think if we cannot meet each other, at least this is the connection that we can have for our families and see, you know, like I have a normal life also as you have. And, you know, Adidas has a parent-child office, several parent-child office. So I moved to Germany when my daughter was 2.5 years old. And I was constantly bringing her to the office and she was playing with the toys and I was working in a separate room and I could see her through the window. And it was amazing. And she got used to be part of my meetings, just sitting in another room, but seeing her mother. I do believe that we're moving into that direction where yes, work is very, very important, but we can manage it even having kids around, because we are focused on what we need to achieve.
So can I ask you, what's better, the situation that you described in the past, which is wonderful, you know, if you can bring kids to work and and you can even see her from work, that sounds phenomenal. And now compared to, obviously, there are people with kids at home and looking after them in the home. So what's, from your personal view, what's preferable?
Michael, I'm an extrovert. I need people. Michael is not enough for me. and of course it's stressful. Of course it's stressful to do homework, cook, clean, and all this stuff. And everyone is doing this. And I have a huge respect. And I know that my leader also respects me for managing it and committing and doing all the tasks that I need to do in time, even having a child home. I wish I could be back to the office. I miss my people. I miss all those smiles and then touching conversations. But I'm also very thankful for that time where my daughter could see me as a as a super mommy, super leader, super woman who can manage everything at the same time.
Yay! Cool.
So that sounds like a new balance. So it's important to be professional, even from home. And it's okay to be a private person from home. So what will be different in 3 years?
Hmm.
Or in 2 years? So when hopefully Corona is done.
Yeah, it should be done. It should be done. You know, Christian, what am I thinking? We didn't have this habit to work from home. We used to go to the office 5 days per week. Adidas was allowed us to work 1 day per week from home. And we were looking for this day because you don't need to wake up, you know, at 6. And you can wake up at 8 or 15 minutes to 8.
And now you do.
Yes. So you need to run. You need to keep in mind, okay, I need to pick up child. Do you have enough time? Traffic jam. If someone needs to come to your flat. And now I think it's amazing. You decide. If you have important meeting or conferences or team activities, you go to the office and you do it. And if you need to concentrate and create a new product or finish performance discussion or anything, you can do it at home. I do believe that the remote control showed us that we can work even from home very, very efficient.
Hmm. What's the utopia of this? So if we go even further out, you know, in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, what's going to be the future of working? I mean, how remote are we going to be? I think everybody's assuming we'll never fully go back how it was in the past. So, but what's the new equilibrium? What will be the long-term utopia where this can get? And what processes and what behaviors will that take to make that successful for an organization? Will we even have companies then? How is that going to evolve, you think?
Sorry to say, even if I believe we have one of the most beautiful offices in the world in Adidas. So we have 6,500 people here. So you can imagine it's several kindergartens on the office, huge gym, several buildings. It's unbelievable beautiful. But I don't think we will need it in the future. And other companies won't need offices in the future. I think we all will have our small home office, cozy and nice. And we will meet somewhere in the rented places for the meetings where, I know, more than 10 people should be in for brainstorm or for other discussions. And I think people actually evolved in their responsibility because I think I became much more responsible than I was before. And I'm managing so many and multitasking. Because you need to manage so many things at the same time. And you need to understand how to use this time properly if you want to get everything done. Yeah. And this remote life allows us to do this.
And in an organization with, I mean, hundreds, and in your case where you are now thousands of people, what tools and processes, HR tools and processes, will we need to be successful with all this so that it's not going to become one big super remote chaos?
Oh, yeah. You know, what we are focusing on, we're focusing on diversity and inclusion because I think this is something, you know, inclusion starts with I.
Hmm.
So I should start doing something differently to make sure that everyone feels inclusive. And I think it's a change of the mindset. This is where we're working on. We will develop leadership capabilities like feedback, culture, engagement, working with, different type of people and personalities. I don't know. I do think that also secret is in the feedback. We need to make sure that we give the correct feedback to people in the right way.
Yeah. And you mentioned culture there, you know, which is such a big, important word. Culture eats strategy for breakfast and all of that. So what does it mean for culture in the future when we have still a large part of work taking place remote? Is there still going to be so much of a, you know, value in a coherent culture to be successful for an organization? Or will organizations be able to be a lot more diverse beyond having one shared culture?
So from one side, I believe that now finally we became much more diverse because we have no choice. From another side, you know, the success is in networking. And I think networking in the office is much more easy and obvious. Networking through Teams or Skype is a little bit different. But we might need to develop this capability and learn how to do this.
Can I make an observation on that and test what you think?
Yeah, please.
I think what I'm observing is that the people that were good in networking in the office are not necessarily the people that are now good in networking in the remote world. Or is it? I'm not sure. Because of the technology, you know? I mean, for some, it's really easy to walk up to somebody over a coffee and say, hey, how's it going? What are you working on? You know, some people, you know, naturally feel comfortable with that. And, they're, you know, if I'm more shy, then I probably didn't feel comfortable with that in the office.
Absolutely.
Now, I can think of, you know, people who feel a lot more comfortable over technology and having a different distance and approaching people over that channel, where I do not have to face the person standing a meter away from me, but it's somewhere on a small box on a screen like here on Zoom. You know?
I agree with you. It actually depends on the personality. And that's an interesting observation because the moment I announce that I'm leaving Adidas, a lot of people start scheduling with me a farewell coaching session. So
nice.
They want to have a quick coaching session from me. I would never do this with anyone. And some people I even don't know closely, so they're brave enough just to schedule a call with me and talk with me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It will have an impact on networking to work remotely.
Yeah.
So if you got the chance to send one message via, let's say, WhatsApp or as a text message to all the leaders in the world, what would it be?
You know what? I don't know why in my head I constantly have that be authentic. I think this is the best leadership style or the best human being, that people are authentic. Because everyone can learn knowledge, but show the authenticity in this time is much more important than sharing the knowledge or giving the tasks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Natasha. Great to see you and to hear you.
Oh, yeah. It was very interesting to meet you. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much for your insights.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Vielen Dank für deine Aufmerksamkeit. Und vielen Dank für deinen Weg zu mehr entspannter Produktivität und besserer Führung. Wenn dir dieser Podcast gefallen hat oder hilfreich für dich war, dann teile ihn doch bitte mit Menschen, von denen du denkst, dass diese Folge oder unser Podcast insgesamt auch spannend oder hilfreich für sie sein könnten. Teile den Link auch gerne auf deinen Social-Media-Plattformen wie LinkedIn zum Beispiel und schreib vielleicht auch dazu, was du wertvoll findest an dieser Folge oder an unserem Podcast, sodass auch andere Menschen davon profitieren können. Ich werde alle, die uns verlinken und was Nettes über den Podcast schreiben, in den Shownotes der nächsten Folge verlinken, sodass auch du selbst dann direkt von den anderen Hörern gefunden wirst. Also, teile gerne unseren Podcast, poste einen Link auf Social Media, tagge Michael Porz und Christian Kohlhof und schon erscheinst du nächste Woche in unseren Shownotes. Vielen Dank!